It was late in the day, almost early evening, and there was no one in the Flatiron Building offices of the boys when the auto-record function was tripped by the members of Teenage Kicks returning to their headquarters.
Look, it had to be someone.
Fuck off.
Come on, shout-out.
Nah, big game, and fuck you too, gunpowder. My mom was watching that shit. My sister and her husband. Do you have any idea of what I'm going to have to go through because of this?
You don't mean to tell me that blacks and queers don't get on, do you?
Blonde cock, one more fucking word
okay,
out
okay,
of...
easy. It's only gonna be for a few months. You can come back. You've done a lot of thinking. You know who you are now. You're ready to take your place in the world's premier teen super team again. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I fucking get it, okay?
Did anyone else see this?
See what?
This email. This new email right here.
Who's it from?
I don't know. I don't recognize the address, but it says they know who did this to us.
It was later into the evening as Mother's Milk, the female, Huey, Butcher, and Terror stood on West 23rd at the south edge of Madison Square Park, waiting on Frenchie to pull around the surveillance van.
All right, here's Frenchie now. If you think about it, it had to be Shout-Out.
Hey, Frenchie.
Because he's black?
Well, yeah, that doesn't hurt. But what you've got to think about is who can do the most damage to the team if they go down. Can't be Popclaw. You can't dump the one bird in a group of eight. Can't be Gunpowder. Or bang goes the NRA sponsorship. Can't be Jetstreak, because that stupid slag what was wanking off him in Big Game comes from serious money. One with a scandal and she'll bury them all in legal shit.
Oh man, this is repulsive. You gotta toss all the pizza boxes and shit before you bring it back in.
It can't be Whack Job or Blarney Cock, because they've been mates for donkey's years. One goes, they both go, and you've lost a quarter of the team. And it won't be Dog Knot, because, well, now we know who does a better job of sucking Big Game's cock, I suppose.
Big Game?
Well, there's no way he's going to fall on his own sword. He's the boss. Even if he wanted to, the others be insane to let him go. There's always one alpha holding the group together. Right, see you lot tomorrow. Terror? Come on, mate. Knock it on the head. Terror, mate, what the bloody hell are you?
Butcher, Frenchie, the female, Huey, and Mother's Milk all looked west on 23rd to see Popclaw, Gunpowder, Jetstreak, and Dognut on foot, and Big Game, Shout-Out, Blarneycock, and Whackjob flying toward them about 20 feet off the ground.
Ah, for fuck's sake.
Big Game and the others landed on the street as the other four slowed to a stop into stances that suggested an immediate confrontation.
What's the matter? Weren't expecting us, huh?
Butcher offered a shrug as Mother's Milk balled his hands into fists. Frenchie slipped his goggles over his eyes, the female stared through strands of her hair, and Huey looked on, terrified.
Did you think you could hide from us? Try to blackmail us, destroy us as a team, but you don't have the balls to face us, do you? I don't know who you people are or why you decided to fuck with us, but this ends right here. Because now it's time for... All right, what the fuck are you laughing at, you stupid son of a bitch?
Butcher wiped away tears from his right eye as an evil smile was born across his face.
God almighty. Oh. All right, boys. Let's give him a fucking spanking.
Butcher started to walk up the street, and Frenchie, the female, and Mother's Milk followed. Huey slowly joined a few paces back.
Okay, let them come to us. Spread out. Flyers first, rest of you on backup.
Blarneycock, Shout-Out, and Whackjob all rose above the street, ready to zoom forward.
Let's show them what it means to fuck with Teenage Kick.
Thinking the people before him had no superpowers, the Teenage Kicks were caught off guard as the boys dashed forward with intense speed. Butcher himself slamming his head into the face of Big Game, whose nose collapsed and several front teeth went about in different directions. His body fell back and he was out before he hit the ground. Mother's Milk advanced and sent a left hook to Gunpowder that not only shattered his helmet, but the whole right side of his jaw. He too collapsed. Jetstreak tried to speed towards Frenchie, who easily caught the younger masked suit with both hands around his throat and quickly kneed him in the groin. Popclaw swung with the right arm, only to have it blocked by the female, who then grabbed Popclaw's face with one hand and, digging in her fingernails, picked up and threw the lone female member of the Teenage Kicks across the street. Huey looked up to see Shoutout coming through the air, a burst of energy striking the ground before him.
Shake!
Butcher turned to Huey amid the fracas.
Huey, stay clear of him, mate. Just take the cock.
What?
Huey turned to see Blarneycock upside down and suspended so that they were almost face to face.
He means me, you feckin' bint.
Dognot tried to leap onto Mother's Milk, but MM caught the lupine soup by the face with one hand.
Move, Dognot! I can't get a shot!
Come here, bitch!
MM hurled Dognot at Whackjob, catching the flyer in midair and sending both soups several feet back and onto the street. Shoutout was advancing in the air towards Mother's Milk when Butcher reached up and caught the recently outed soup by the groin.
Hello, Puff.
While Butcher was pulling Shoutout back to Earth, Blarneycock descended on Huey. Huey went to his knees as Blarneycock grabbed his face with both hands, thumbs with talons poised over Huey's eyes.
I'll feckin' blatter you, you bastard! I'll take your feckin' eyes out, rip your bollocks off, you little fecker! I'll put your head through the fucking wall!
Terrified, Huey punched at Blarneycock. But instead of hitting him in the stomach, Huey punched straight through the young soup, as a mess of blood, bones, and viscera shot out through a hole in Blarneycock's back. The two slumped to the street, Huey's hand still through the red-headed soup's abdomen.
Oh, God!
The rest of the boys stared in shock as Butcher's shoulders sagged.
Fuck's sake, Huey! You're not supposed to kill him!
Taking Butcher's distraction, Shoutout thrust his hand at Butcher.
Get your fucking hands off me!
Shit!
A blast of electricity came from Shoutout's right hand and struck Butcher on his right cheek. Butcher slowly looked back to Shoutout with fury in his eyes.
Oh, Jesus!
Right, you.
Burn me! You fucking burn me!
You touch me with your electric wanking hand!
Butcher grappled and pulled off both of Shoutout's thumbs and let him fall to the pavement. Butcher then turned to see Frenchie and Mother's Milk try and extricate Huey's hand from Blarneycock's now lifeless torso.
God, Petty Huey.
It's okay, man. Just don't be looking at it. Ease back.
As Huey was eased back by Frenchie, Mother's Milk took Huey's hand out of Blarneycock, who flopped face down on the street.
I know. Just chill. Take a moment and breathe. Get your shit straight.
But I can't.
It happens. You ain't used to it. You didn't know what you was doing. Just chill.
Mother's Milk took over calming Huey as Frenchie, the female, and even Terror stood above Blarneycock as it appeared that his body was still twitching. But then it became clear that it was only Blarneycock's backside that was moving.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Huey and Mother's Milk took notice as well.
What? Yeah.
They stood in horror as a round, plump gerbil with what appeared to be duct tape around its middle crawled out from the back of Blarneycock's green costume briefs.
Oh,
that's
no!
Some appalling smell.
The porter, man. Can we not do something for him?
I ain't touching the goddamn thing.
But he still has tape all over him.
Butcher walked over.
What is it? Oh, fuck me, Ridget.
Huey, don't be picking that up, man!
We can't just leave him.
It was then that the female dragged an unconscious Popclaw over by her wrist that had a razor-sharp claw still extended. She reached the claw down and slipped it under the tape gently and pulled up, freeing the gerbil from the tape while still nestled in Huey's hand.
Jinx.
Well, now I've seen everything. All right, here come the plot. The rest of you piss off inside. Go.
Huey, Frenchie, Mother's Milk, and the female all walked off towards the Flatiron Building as Butcher fished out some ID from his overcoat and shook his head as the flashing red and white strobes came up the street.
Oh, Huey. Now they're gonna have one of those fucking funerals.
In the conference room of Vault Aerial Base 1, Homelander, Black Noir, The Deep, and Jack from Jupiter stood about near the large window at one end of the room. Jack took a drag on a cigarette and gave a shake of his head.
Not like them to let it get so public, is it? I mean, a brawl in the street right outside the Flatiron, it could mean, you know, it could mean they're not what they used to be.
I doubt it. So long as we're talking about this, shouldn't Maeve be here too? As the other member who tangled with them before?
Her Majesty is above such worldly concerns. So long as she's got enough gin inside her at any rate. And it doesn't matter who's with him in replacing Mallory or the rest of the team. Butcher himself is going to be as dangerous as ever. The man does not fuck up. Just ask the Lamplighter.
Four helicopters with various newsletters painted on their sides were closing in on the station and were headed for the open hangar doors below the conference room.
All right. Down to the hangar deck. Big smiles for the 6 o'clock news.
A hero falls.
It is a somber day here in New York. We are live at the funeral service for Teenage Kicks member and protector of children, Blarneycock. While we wait for the next speaker, here are some of the reactions from earlier today as members of his team arrived at the service. First, here is the team leader, Big Game.
He was the best of us. He was a great guy. He was grateful for the chance he'd been given to do good. We're all just gonna miss him like crazy.
We also spoke to Shoutout, who recently came out as gay.
He was a cool guy you could always talk to. He really helped me when I was struggling with my gayness, with my being gay.
Many young superheroes were in attendance. From the Young Americans, team leader Drummer Boy also spoke to us.
We want the guys to know that we're here for them, that we're thinking of them, and praying for them every second of the day.
The seven were oddly not in attendance, but Adam Fleischer, spokesman for Vought American, had this to say.
The seven regret that they can't join us this afternoon because of some exciting developments of their own, which I advise all of us to keep an eye out for. But Blarney was a friend. He was their friend. He'll always be a friend.
Outside the Bryman Electronics store were a bevy of TVs of differing sizes, all played the same channel airing the funeral. Butcher and Huey stood staring through the store window at a man with a blockish head and a flat-top haircut.
He was a hero.
Oh, here we go.
That's a word that gets thrown around a lot these days. Sports stars and Hollywood personalities. Hollywood personalities. But Blarneycock was the real thing.
Here, is that...
Victor Veep, yeah.
Just like his comrades in Teenage Kicks, he risked his life every day. Protecting the innocent, battling evil, knowing that one day a time might come, as do he all that he would pay the ultimate price in standing up for the cause of freedom. Despite the sure and definite resurrection, we say goodbye, old friend. We'll miss you.
Eh?
I'll tell you later.
Once again, the funeral for Blarneycock, leading member of superhero team Teenage Kicks, killed in action against time terrorists on Monday night.
What?
A sad occasion. Katie?
What? Thanks, you were hoping they'd give you a mention.
Later today, we'll have
Come
a cool
on.
Forecast for you after the game.
What the fuck is a time terrorist?
You gotta cover up the unsightly bits. Speaking of, how's the wee hamster? You get him sorted with some new gear.
Yeah, he's fine. But I was thinking, how'd they know it was us?
You mean who tipped him off? There's only a couple of people who actually know we're back. No way Monkey'd cross me, but his boss.
Huey, Butcher, and Terror all strode into Madison Square Park and headed for a bench.
Let's have us a chat. So, you all right?
Butcher sat while Huey remained standing.
I can't stay. I killed someone. I know it was self-defense and I didn't mean to and all that, but I still did it. And it's not like I feel I need to be punished for it. I don't have some burning desire to see the inside of an American prison. but I don't want to be in something where I can do things like that and get away with it.
Butcher offered a slight smile and then looked off into the middle distance.
Well, I'm not going to try and stop you, Huey. I said all along it was going to be your decision. But I've got to tell you, mate, I think you're making a big mistake.
Why?
Huey crossed to the bench and sat.
I mean, what's so bloody brilliant about spying on these idiots anyway? Blackmailing them, making them all scared all the time. Who gives a fuck about bloody superheroes? I mean, what do you get out of it? Why do you bother?
Butcher dropped his head and then raised his eyes to the tree canopy above.
Because one of them raped my wife.
Huey's eyes went wide as he looked at Butcher.
What?
She never told me. Shame or something. I read about it in a diary afterwards. First I knew about it, I woke up one night and her guts were all over the bed. And there was this super fetus thing crawling out of her stomach. It was too much for an ordinary woman to carry to term. Something like that. I had to beat her to death with a fucking lampstand.
Butcher pulled up the left sleeve of his overcoat, exposing his forearm, and revealed a well-scarred patch of his arm.
You see that? That was its heat vision, done that?
Shite.
Butcher lowered his sleeve and glanced back up at the sky.
I loved my wife, Huey. Becky, her name was. She was a doll. She made you believe in things. Made things make sense. She made me make sense.
Butcher's eyes hardened as his gaze lowered.
I know which one done it to her. And I'm gonna fucking have him for it.
What? Who?
One of the big boys.
Butcher then glanced over at Huey.
Do you know the soups have a casualty allowance?
Huh?
Casualty allowance is a limit set for police technical units when they're rescuing hostages. You lose less than 20% of the bods you're there for, say, and you're reckoned to have done all right. Nobody's going to lose their job over it. Except for the soups. It's set at 60%. Now, what do you suppose that is?
Go
on, have a guess.
Because they're not very good at it?
In one. They're not trained. They're just a load of amateurs decided they were going to do this. They haven't been licensed. They haven't been authorised. Why is that, do you think? Why would the cops and the White House and even a fucking military just sit back and let these cunts get on with it?
They're afraid of them.
And that's where we come in. I won't bullshit you, Huey. This wouldn't be the last time you'd have to top someone. It's big boys' rules now. All the nice guy stuff you get to do, because you've got a choice. That all goes out the window if you want to win. You saw Victor Veep at the funeral, right?
Hey.
Well, it used to be a fuck sight simpler, mate. The soups are backed by the big corporations, and we keep an eye on them for the government. That hasn't changed. But now the lines are blurred. Dakota Bob hates soups. He knows how dangerous they are. But Victor Veep, he's a Vault American man through and through. He used to run the fucking place. They're the ones that got him on the ticket in 2000. And what that means, son, is we are one bad day away from a soup-friendly president in the Oval Office.
Huey lowered his gaze to the sidewalk at his feet.
And this is why you think I should stay?
I think you should stay, because you're good at it. You like it. You've got a score to settle, so you want it.
Butcher reached down and rubbed the head and neck of Terror, and then looked back to Huey and smiled.
All that. I always wanted a little brother.
On board Vought Aerial Base 1, Homelander stood among a throng of reporters as the other members of the Seven stood in a line off to one side.
Yes, this is a sad day for the young members of the Teenage Kicks. But this is also an exciting day because it marks the first public appearance of our newest member, Starlight.
Will she be standing in for the Lamplighter during his absence?
That's correct. She is Lamplighter's replacement in the Seven. Starlight?
Homelander looked over to the other members of the Seven and Annie, who stood at the far end, almost behind the others.
Yes?
Would you like to give us a better look at you?
Sure.
Annie stepped forward as the reporters swung her way, and their camera shutters clicked wildly about her. The new version of her costume had her yellow boots extending up to mid-thigh. Gone was the dress, replaced by a long-sleeve unitard that was high French cut, leaving her upper thighs exposed, and a low center cut to her navel, exposing cleavage. Her cape and gloves were all that remained from her old costume. Back in the boys' HQ, Mother's Milk and Frenchie sat watching a news report as the female sat on the floor, her eyes closed.
Starlight recently left the Young Americans to join the Seven. We're delighted to have her aboard, and are all looking forward to working with her.
Nice rack.
C'est vrai?
Well, we want to thank you for coming aboard and meeting our newest member, but duty calls. But let me just take a moment and let the people at home know that we're still watching out for them. It's our job. It's what we do. And should the worst ever happen, remember, we'll be there for you.
Homelander then turned and walked off as the rest of the Seven followed them as they bolted from the deck of the base and flew out into the afternoon sky.
Well, there go the Seven. Off to make the world safe for white people again.
Heard that.
Mother's Milk turned off the TV and turned to see Butcher and Terror walking across the room, with Huey following behind.
Don't know, though. I mean, this is gonna sound sort of weird coming from me, but you ever think a couple of them might have had their hearts in the right place? Like there might be one or two good soups out there?
Huh. Well, if there are, fuck them.
At the in-home office of a private therapist in Bronxville, New York, a bespectacled therapist sits facing the armored crime fighter, Tech Knight, who is slumped, his twin mini turbines and retractable wings for flight making him resemble more a gargoyle than the majestic crime fighter for which he is known. The therapist's cat lounges off to one side on a small cat bed.
You don't understand. I can't stop fucking things.
Perhaps we ought to start at the beginning. You're the Tech Knight, is that correct?
Yes.
And what else?
What do you mean? I'm Tech Knight, one of the founding members of Payback. We save the world on an almost weekly basis.
Interesting that you see yourself in that light. Go on.
Oh, God, I knew this was a bad idea.
It's just that an exaggerated
Look,
sense
of... we were on patrol over Bayonne, okay? We had a tip that a terrorist threat was imminent, so Stormfront, Mind Droid, Swatto, and I were on aerial recon, while the others were on foot. We were about to turn from out HQ when all of a sudden this thought just pops into my head like it was the most natural thing in the world. Man, Mandroid has a nice ass. And then there was this other thought, just like the first one, came out of nowhere, that wouldn't it feel so good to fuck it?
You did it? Right then and there?
What? Oh, thank Christ, no. No, we were at altitude. But I flew so close in on him that they suspended me. And since then, it's everything. A side of beef, my niece's chinchilla, a hole in the wall of my cave. What the hell am I gonna do?
Well, was it a great ass?
What? How the fuck should I know? Look, I'm not that way, and I've never been that way.
Do you think that you should explore the possibility that...
Look, I'm not gay. I am in danger of permanent exclusion from the world's second greatest super team, and my sister won't let me near her kids since she caught me burying the chinchilla. I need help.
You raped it to death?
It was an accident.
Okay, let's go back to these thoughts, feelings, urges you mentioned. Could you release the tension in another fashion?
Like masturbate?
Yes.
I don't know. It's not lustful or sexual.
But you are tumescent during the act.
Yes.
So you have the thought.
And off I go. End of story.
That's all there is to it?
The therapist sipped from a cup of coffee and then set it down on the small side table next to his armchair.
Well, I do talk. Dirty. Raunchy, you know, when I'm doing it.
So, at that stage, there is a sexual element.
Yes, a loud one. Ladio heard me doing the techmobile up the tailpipe last night, and it took some careful explaining that away. But thankfully, he's not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Ladio?
My boy sidekick.
Tech Knight lifted his visored helmet to his therapist.
Don't even fucking go there.
Well, wherever we end up going, this is going to take a lot of work. I'll have to just step out and get my appointment book. Excuse me.
The therapist stood and walked from the room, picked up a book from his outer office, and upon turning around, the cat darted from the therapy room. Upon returning, the therapist crossed to a seat to find Tech Knight seated and shaking his head.
I see your problem. Does Friday at 2 work for you?
The therapist picked up his coffee cup to take a sip and glanced at the cup's contents.
Oh, no. It wasn't the cat, was it?
It looks warm and soft.
Get out. Get out of my office and don't ever come back.
Huey walked into the outer office of the boys' HQ to find Mother's Milk at a computer and Frenchie and the female playing a board game in the corner.
Petit Huey! Genial!
Lo, Frenchie!
Huey crossed the room and plopped down onto a desk chair opposite the desk Mother's Milk was behind.
What are they doing?
Same thing they always be doing. Waiting for Butcher to tell them to fuck somebody up.
Huey glanced over to the pair against the wall and then back to Mother's Milk.
But why are they playing Monopoly on a clue board?
Mother's Milk glanced over as well, shook his head, and then looked back to his computer monitor.
Because they're a couple of crazy motherfuckers.
Okay.
Don't be looking for no logical shit around here.
Butcher told me they were muscle when I first came here. I didn't believe it till I saw it myself.
Yeah, better there with us, you know. Frenchie's just crazy, but the female, she's drawn to putting the hurt on folks. That's how come she was working for the mob. She got no idea how to stop doing what she do.
Huey looked at them again.
Huh. They have names?
Yeah. The Frenchman and the female. Ain't nobody knows shit about either of them, Huey. Unless Butcher's got something he ain't mentioned, which ain't too goddamn unlikely, truth be told. A little bit sad. But at least this way, they ain't running around out there. All that violence gets directed at assholes who deserve it.
Mother's Milk wrote down something from his monitor on a notepad and tore off the sheet, handing it to Huey.
Okay. Butcher wants you to meet him here in an hour. By the way, you gon' need this.
Mother's Milk hefted up a boutique-looking ivory tote bag and handed it to Huey, who immediately looked inside. Huey reached in and pulled out a black overcoat, just like the one the other members of the boys wore.
Oh, fucking grand.
On the sidewalk on Bay Parkway in Brooklyn, Butcher and Huey walked under an overcast sky. Huey still wore his ever-present hoodie, the hood hanging over the collar of his overcoat.
Glad you got your SI boys gear. It's so we look like a pack of scary old fucking bastards, mate. How's it working? You feel any scarier?
Well, I definitely feel taller.
Well, there you go. Next time we get in a Barney, just twat anything not wearing a black overcoat. You'd be surprised how many times that saved a day.
Hey, well, I'm hoping that's not going to be anytime soon, you know?
Butcher and Huey slowed toward the approach of a storefront over the sign, Vinny's Comics.
Put that action figure down or I'll break your fucking neck.
I wasn't.
I catch you stealing from me again, I'll break a baseball bat over your head and stick the splinter in end up your ass.
In the store was an obese man in a red short-sleeved casual shirt. His hair was slicked back and black, and he sported a goatee and mustache. He was staring down a smaller man in glasses, ill-fitting clothes and wearing a backpack. Another large man sat behind the counter in a teal Hawaiian shirt.
What are we in here for?
Someone I want you to meet.
But I wasn't...
Sean, tear up this fucking Mutt's order card.
Do it yourself, you lazy motherfucker.
Fuck you, you fucking shoe.
I'm a shoe? Fuck you, you fucking shoe.
I just...
You still here, faggot? Get the fuck out of here before I crack open your fucking head and shit in your brain pan.
The man in the backpack quickly shuffled out the door.
Well, hello, lads.
Butcher! You limey bastard. How the hell are you?
Oh, I guess. Huey, this is Giuseppe McGinney. And that's his brother, Sean.
Yo.
Sean offered an up nod while Giuseppe extended a large, meaty hand that enveloped Huey's in a handshake.
Hey, Huey, watch out for this guy. He'd fuck you, your mother, and any pets you got. He ain't quite ready for you. About 5 minutes, okay?
No rush, mate.
Giuseppe retreated to a door marked private, while Sean continued reading a comic called Secret Apartment.
You wanted me to meet them?
Eh? Oh, fuck no. They just run the place. No. It's the bloke Apples and Pears. You'll see in a minute. Come on, we'll have a look around.
Butcher and Huey walked around an aisle to find comics on racks that went up to the ceiling.
Jenks. Lot of comics.
You read them?
Yeah, when I was wee.
Well, this is where they put out the official version, Huey. The public gets to read all about thrilling heroics and crusaders for justice, and in the meantime, the soups get on with all the horrible shit they're really doing. Highly entertaining. Especially if you've got the inside scoop.
Butcher started pointing at various comics on the wall before them and at the heroes that adorned the covers.
Puff. Dyke. Puff. 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 Both puffs. You'll be surprised to hear. Puff. Let's see. Puff. Kiddie fucker. Dyke. Puff.
Wait a minute.
Huey gave a quick look to Butcher, then pointed to a cover Butcher had just referenced.
Even I heard of him. He died saving the entire universe.
Nah, choked on cum.
Butcher looked over to another wall of comics.
Oi, this one here? Full-blown AIDS. Knew he had it, did nothing about it. Infected at least 3 girls that I know of. So I cut his dick off, and to this day, that saviour of the people has been sitting down to piss.
Fuck's sake! This is something out of a nightmare!
Hence the comics. Works for us too, mate. I mean, there'd be no point in trying to blackmail a bloke everyone knows as a cunt, would there?
Hey, Butcher, you can go on down now.
Cheers, mate. Come on.
Butcher and Huey headed for the door marked private, and once through, went through another door to the left, which led down a flight of stairs and another hallway.
So, who's this weirdo?
Well, when they started doing comics in the 50s, they needed someone who came from publishing to run the office. He's the bloke got the job, and what he doesn't know about the suits ain't worth knowing. Believe you me.
What's his name?
He hasn't got a name, mate. He's a legend. Both definitions of the term.
Butcher opened another door.
Excelsior. Forever upward. What the hell?
Oh, bollocks.
Butcher and Huey came around to see a short, bald man in glasses, a rumpled white shirt and bow tie, sitting in a wooden desk chair with his pants around his ankles, and an overweight, scantily clad woman on her knees in front of the man.
God damn it! How about a little fucking privacy? Shit. I'll bet this is those two mick-wop sons of bitches' idea of a fucking joke. Ah, screw it. It's like trying to shoot pool with a length of goddamn rope. Get your money from the ape at the counter, sweetheart. Same time next week.
Okay, sweetie.
The prostitute, who was easily pushing mid-50s and looking much older, stood and crossed toward the stairs and left.
All right, come on over here. Let's get this over with.
The small man placed a burnt-out stogie in his mouth as he stood and buttoned up his pants and pulled back on red suspenders that matched the color of his bow tie. Huey and Butcher crossed a dingy room filled with boxes, stacks of comics, and rows of shelves which held comics, stacks of papers, pictures, and envelopes. Legend took a step toward Huey and looked up at him.
Ten Hut Troopers!
Huh?
Welcome to the wondrous world of four-color fantastic.
Oh, no, mate. He's not a fan. He's the new lad.
Legend dropped the drill sergeant bearing and tilted his head, offering a bemused smile.
Oh.
Legend took the stogie from his mouth and looked to Butcher.
Well now, back in business at last.
Legend then pulled a Zippo from his pocket and relit his cigar.
You know, that just might make this a little easier.
Legend turned and walked over to his desk and began leafing through comics and papers.
Yeah, I got your message. What's this you want us to look into then?
Legend turned back and handed a large manila envelope to Butcher.
My sister's grandson. Little swish. Someone pitched him off a rooftop 6 months back. Frank Johns in the 1-9 sent this over. Said the department ain't exactly busting their asses looking for the perp.
So, you go to the bloke who takes cases cops won't touch. The man who stands for truth and justice no matter what. What the fuck are you giving this to me for?
Because first of all, you owe me.
Legend then held up a comic with a young hero wearing a jetpack with wings on it.
And second of all, he was supposed to be bending over for this son of a bitch.
Swing Wing?
Tech Knight's boy.
I thought that was Ladio.
Legend took a drag on his cigar and blew the smoke to the side.
This punk was the first Ladio. He's since gone on to be Swing Wing. You're out of touch, my friend. You want back in the game, you better learn to tell your sidekicks from your teen sensations. Here.
Legend handed over the comic as Butcher gave a slow nod.
This is me way back in, I suppose. All right, I can give it a read.
You won't regret it. Good to meet you, kid. Sorry about the mix-up. I hate all that comic book hero worship crap.
Oh, I...
Come on, then.
Butcher and Huey turned and headed for the door.
Keep me in the loop.
Right. What'd you want, the comic or the file?
The file.
Nah, sorry, mate. But I'll let you buy me a pizza while I'm reading it.
Sitting in the window of a Brooklyn pizzeria, Huey froze while lifting a slice of pizza to his mouth. A look of revulsion covered his face as Butcher leaped through the case file.
This is absolute shite.
Comics, mate. They'll rot your brain.
Huey set down the slice, wiped his hands with a cheap paper napkin, and picked up the comic lying flat on the table.
Right, so after all this, you live your life the way you want. All in bold, by the way. This kid gets queer-bashed, and the Swing Wing goes after the guys and knocks the fuck out of them, and he's going, I hope this hurts you as much as you hurt that boy. All in bold. You know what weird fucking parallel universe has anything like that happened before, will you tell me?
In bold.
Butcher took a draw on his drink through his straw as Huey shook his head.
I mean, they go on, and sometimes bold every third word or one word in the panel, making it hard to read. And so gay fellas get bashed, and here's this shite saying not to worry, because there's a superhero on his way.
Butcher didn't look up, but continued scanning the file.
Well, that's the whole point to soups, isn't it? Something's complicated, you make it simple. Something a cunt with a cape can just punch it and fix it all. You stay as far away from the real world.
Butcher slid a photo across the table.
Which can be a messy fucking place.
Huey picked up the police photo of a young man on the sidewalk, his limbs twisted in a large pool of blood under his head. Butcher continued leafing through the file.
Ah, no. Is this?
The kid Legend wants us looking into. File says he was fucking a real-life Swing Wing. The deceased, Stephen Rubenstein, 18, a student at NYU. Had an apartment in Gramercy, but spent the odd weekend with his mum in Yonkers. Oh, a nice part of Yonkers. Parents divorced, dad overseas. Deceased was bent as a 9-bob note and died in a fall off a 6-story building on 9th Avenue. Nothing to suggest foul play at all, which might explain why the plod weren't overly interested. No drugs or alcohol in his system. No history of mental illness. No trouble at college or with his mates. And no mention of Swing Wing either.
Huey handed back the photo.
Should we go and talk to him?
Not a bad idea. Except I haven't got a clue where to find a cunt. The old bastard was right. I am a bit out of touch. Here.
Butcher handed the file to Huey and had a bite of pizza. Huey started leafing through the pages of the file.
They interviewed a few of his pals. What about this lad here, Drake? He's a bit older than all the others. 9 years. Do you think he'd be worth talking to?
Might be.
Says he's a barman at the place in the city.
Possible bum chum, all right. Let's give it a go.
Do you have to talk about them like that?
Aye?
Like bum chum, bend and poof. Just don't think it's necessary. I mean, the wee lad is dead.
That a bad word, is it? Poof.
I'm only saying...
No, I hear ya. I shall endeavour to modify my language to suit your delicate ears. You'll let me know if I slip, though, will ya?
Let's just go.
In a sprawling mansion in Westchester County, New York, Tech Knight, with his faceplate back, revealing his face to be multi-millionaire Robert Vernon, quickly follows a portly bald man in a dark gray suit who is pulling a wheeled suitcase behind him.
I'm afraid I cannot stay, Master Robert. My mind is made up. But you've been the butler to the Vernon family for 37 years.
Be that as it may, sir, I regret that I have no choice but to leave your service forthwith. My position here is simply no longer tenable.
The two men slowed and stopped at the front door.
Look, I know what this is about. What happened yesterday, I promise, nothing like that will ever...
The butler spun around and cupped a hand to his right ear.
You'll have to speak up, sir. I seem to be a trifle deaf in my left ear.
Oh, is that the one...
Yes. But the relationship between gentleman and manservant is as clear-cut as it is time-honored. I have served your meals, laid out your attire, announced your guests upon arrival, put you to bed when you were strong with liquor, ensured discretion with female company. I have been your confidant. I have even been your friend. But what I will not do is subject myself to manhandling or open physical assault. Most certainly not the unspeakable outrage that was recently committed upon my person. I stayed only till you informed me that you had sent your ward away for his own safety, making it all too clear my very own meant nothing to you. Now, I believe that is the taxicab I summoned.
Thomas!
The elderly, portly man began to turn away. Tech Knight reached out for him, but the older man flashed eyes of rage at his now former employer.
Please rest assured that your secrets are safe with me, sir. All your secrets.
The former butler turned towards the door and opened it.
Sir, good day to you.
Huey and Butcher stood on the sidewalk in the Chelsea neighborhood looking up at a sign for a pub that had an all-red rooster holding a martini glass and appeared to be sweating. The words, Red Hot Rooster, were just above it.
Here, hang on. This is a gay bar?
Oh yeah, get the sign? It says Red Hot Rooster, but it's also a red hot cock.
What? I'm not going in there.
Why not? Wait a minute. I'm a bastard for calling them fruits or whatever, but you won't even set foot inside a gay bar?
No,
You've got nothing against them. Some of your best friends are gay, yeah?
Look, I just get a bit freaked out by what they do, okay?
Fine, but it's the middle of the day. I doubt we're going to walk in there and it's going to be wall-to-wall arse-sex. Then again, nice young handsome lad like you. Some dirty old chicken or in search of romance.
Ha, bloody ha.
It's good to know where the line is for you. Come on then, bums to the wall.
Once inside, Butcher and Huey crossed to the center of the bar and sat. The place was empty save for a couple of tables along the wall and one older man with receding brown hair, a beard and glasses, reading a newspaper at the end of the bar. A fit, tanned young man with a goatee and mustache turned around from the rail and, after a quick looking over, stepped to the bar.
Help you?
A club soda. What about you, Huey?
Huey was glancing about the establishment, half in curiosity and half in fear.
Pint of Stella.
The bartender stepped over to a pristine stack of pint glasses.
On the wife beater.
Yank beer's pish.
I wouldn't know. I don't drink.
No?
Doesn't agree with me.
The bartender returned and set their drinks before them.
Thanks, mate. You wouldn't happen to know a guy by the name of Paul Drake, would you?
I'm him.
Oh, that's a stroke of luck. We're here to talk about Stephen Rubenstein.
The slightly older bearded man with glasses looked over from his paper.
You are? Sorry. Who are you? Because you're not cops, not talking like that.
Well spotted. No, we're London CID on exchange with a couple of NYPD detectives. We got Chelsea and they got Tooting.
Right. I guess I'm supposed to believe that there's a place actually called that. Never mind that a couple of Brits are interested in a kid who died 6 months ago.
I understand your skepticism. Be honest with you, our American colleagues don't have a clue what to do with us, and Constable Campbell here has a lot of sympathy for you lads, and thought looking into Stephen's case would be a worthwhile use of our time.
Paul gave an up nod to Huey.
That right, Constable?
Hey.
So what do you want with us lads, exactly?
Paul turned back to the rail and the register as Butcher looked at Huey and canted his head toward Paul.
Well... We wanted to see what you knew about Swing Wing.
Paul turned back and placed Butcher's change on the bar.
Well, that is original. The other detectives didn't even mention him. Then again, they seemed to be going through the motions, like it was a waste of time even considering the idea of murder.
Did you? Do you?
I don't know. I thought Stephen was vulnerable, confused, upset a lot of the time.
And extremely fuckable, let's not deny it.
Max.
Butcher and Huey looked down the bar to the bespectacled man with the beard and receding hairline.
Just appraising the officers of all the facts of the case?
Max.
Just doing my civic duty.
This is Max, my boyfriend. He has an opinion or two of his own.
Which I believe I'm more than entitled to, given I had to sit here and watch the endless parade of pretty young things make eyes at you. Stephen was young and pretty, and I thought we were all over that. But lo and fucking behold, here he is, back from the grave to torment us all over again.
Max stood from his stool and walked out of the bar.
Christ. Yeah, Max is a little older than me. He sees me talking to someone and gets... I have no idea why I am telling you this.
Well, you have something going on with Stephen?
No. I mean, he glommed on to me, and I may have played it up a little more than I should have. He was easy on the eyes, but that was it.
You said that he was upset? You think Stephen could have been suicidal?
Jesus, no. He just hadn't been out long, struggling with his parents and all that. I talked to him about it. It's why he went to see Swing Wing.
How'd that happen?
Well, Stephen read his comic. Swing Wing's the gay-friendly superhero, you know that, right?
Yeah, we read the comic too.
Well, Swing Wing came to some community meetings now and again, like in the comics, sort of talking to gay people 101. It's kind of funny to be talked to about crystal meth and whatever else by a guy in that fucking outfit. The other one now, he had a serious problem and couldn't wait to get away from us.
What other one?
Tech Knight. Swing Wing brought him along a couple of times. You know, show us that other soups care about us. But Tech Knight was horrified. You could practically hear his sphincter close up the instant he walked into the room. This guy fucking loathed us.
And how could you tell with his bloody helmet on?
You learn, believe me. So, Stephen tries to talk to Swing Wing, but he can't get that close. Swing Wing not being unattractive himself.
Is he gay?
Well, you'd think we'd all have great gaydar, but honestly, I don't know. He came across as flirty and patronizing. I'll tell you this, though. Beyond the big smile and buff figure, the guy's got about as much character as a cardboard cutout. Deep as a Dixie cup.
Under the Vernon Mansion, Tech Knight prowled the vast caverns of the Tech Cave, his head pointed slightly down.
Absolutely out of the question, Bob.
But I...
Come on.
I just want to...
Come on, Bob. We're all at some Vought American event, Vic the Veep is giving a speech, and all of a sudden you have Black Noir bent over the buffet? That won't go over well.
I'm on top of it. It's a temporary thing. Fuck. Just tell me who told you, okay? Just that.
I can't possibly betray a confidence.
Jesus, you are actually enjoying this, aren't you? Who was it? Someone in payback? Did one of those jealous fucks want to stop me from getting a bump up?
Well, I certainly hope you didn't tell them you were under consideration, Bob. Because that's all it was. A consideration.
No.
Any hopes or dreams you might have entertained would have been very presumptuous. Besides, the position's filled anyway. You know that.
Tech Knight sat in a chair, facing a mammoth wall of computer monitors.
I didn't think it was permanent. I just hoped, you know, that's all.
How did it happen in the first place? I mean, what's causing it?
I don't know. Been racking my brain. World's greatest detective, and I can't solve this fucking mystery.
Well, in case Payback does relent and let you back in, stay away from me in the next Titanic team-up. You understand? You still there?
Yes.
Okay, look, for no particular reason, I'll throw you a bone. You want to know who told us?
Who?
Little friend of ours.
What? Vladio? No way. He's not that smart, and I sent him off to work with another group for a while.
Not that little. Think about it.
Tech Knight sat up slowly.
Motherfucker.